Jim turned at the sound of her first scream and the shrill trumpeting of the huge bull. He broke off the chase after the two other elephants and rained drumfire hard down on his haunches. Then he stared back in horror and disbelief.
"I killed it," he gasped. "I left it dead."
But at the same time he remembered his father's warning. "The brain is so small and is not placed where you would expect it to be. If you miss it by even the breadth of your little finger, the animal will drop as though stone dead, but it is stunned only. When it comes round, it will be unimpaired and many times more dangerous than before. I have seen good men killed that way. Never chance that shot, Jim, my boy, or you will live to regret it." "Bucket!" Jim yelled. "Stay close with the second gun." He gave Drumfire the spurs and sent him back at full gallop. Louisa and the bull were running directly away from him, and he overhauled them only gradually. He was seized by a feeling of debilitating impotence. He could see that Louisa would be killed before he could reach her, and it was his fault. He had left the enraged animal in a position where it could attack her. "I'm coming," he yelled. "Hold hard!" He tried to give her courage, but in the thunder of hoofs and the ringing trumpeting of the bull, she showed no sign of having heard him. He watched her turn in the saddle and fire the little lady's rifle, but though the bull staggered slightly to the shot, it did not leave her. Then he watched in despair as Louisa ran into the bushes and was plucked from the saddle. The elephant turned back to hunt for her, as she was held powerless in the grip of the thorns. However, this check enabled Jim to push in so close that Drumfire balked and shied at the gamey stench of the elephant and at its threatening presence. Using his spurs without mercy, Jim drove him in closer still, watching for an opportunity to send in a telling shot. He knew that his ball must break bone or hit the vitals to distract the bull. However, all was confused movement, noise and flying dust. The elephant was wading through the thorn bush, and the waving branches protected his vulnerable parts and frustrated Jim's aim. Drumfire was skittering under him, throwing his head and trying to back away from the terrible menace of the elephant. He saw Louisa tangled in the thorns. She showed no sign of life. He thought that her neck might have snapped in the fall, or that her skull was crushed in. The idea of losing her was too agonizing to be borne, and he forced Drumfire forward with all his strength and will. Suddenly, the bull found Louisa's limp body and hauled her out of the thicket. Jim dared not fire at its head for fear of hitting Louisa. He was forced to wait until the beast backed and turned broadside to him, at last exposing its flank. Jim leaned far out of the saddle, reaching up until the muzzle of the heavy gun almost touched the rough and baggy skin, and he fired. The ball struck the point of the bull's shoulder on the heavy joint of humerus and scapula, shattering the bone. The elephant reeled back from the shot and threw out its trunk to balance itself on three legs. It released its grip on Louisa's leg, and she fell back into the thicket where the branches cushioned her from the hard earth. The elephant turned towards Jim, ears flaring, shrilling with pain and rage, then reached out with its trunk to pull him from the saddle. But it was pinned by its broken front leg, and Jim turned Drumfire away, swinging out of reach, and rode back to meet Bucket, who was coming up with the second gun. With expertise born of long practice, they exchanged guns. "Reload as quick as you like," Jim shouted, and with the second weapon in his hand, he spurred back to confront the bull, which was dragging itself to meet him, hobbling on three legs, the crippled front leg twisted and useless. Jim could see now that Louisa's shot had blinded one eye, for blood and eye jelly poured down its cheek. He changed direction, coming in from the bull's blind side, so close that the tip of one tusk grazed his shoulder, and as he went by he fired into its chest without checking Drumfire's gallop. The bull staggered. This time the heavy 4-ounce ball had gone in deeply, cutting through the vital organs, the tangled arteries and veins deep in the chest cavity. It was a fatal wound, but it would take time for the beast to fall. He reckoned that Louisa was out of harm's way as long as she stayed where she was, deeply hidden in the thicket. In the utmost haste, Jim rode back to where Bucket had dropped down from Frost's back, the better and swifter to reload the other gun. It took courage to dismount in the face of a wounded elephant. Courage is one thing he lacks not, Jim thought, as he watched for him to finish the complicated business of reloading the heavy gun. Drumfire danced in nervous circles, and Jim glanced back to watch the bull. Then he shouted with alarm as he saw Louisa crawling out of the thorn bush on hands and knees, almost under the bull's trampling feet. Exposed as she now was, she was once again in terrible danger. He dropped the empty gun, and not waiting for Buckart to finish reloading, galloped back again. Again he swerved in from the bull's blind side so that he could risk a much closer pass. Obviously half-stunned, Louisa came to her feet, favouring her injured leg where the bull's trunk had seized her. She saw Jim riding towards her, hopped towards him and lifted her arms. She was a dreadful sight, her clothing torn by thorns and stained with blood. She was covered with scratches and dust, her long hair tumbling down over her face. Drumfire brushed so closely along the bull's blind side that the blood that flowed down from the wound in its shoulder stained Jim's breeches at the knee. But when the elephant swung its trunk to swat him like a fly, Jim flattened himself along Drumfire's neck and ducked under the blow. They galloped up to Louisa, and without pausing, Jim leaned far out of the saddle, gripping only with his knees, flung one arm round Louisa, and swung her up behind him. As soon as she was astride, she locked both her arms round his waist and pressed her face into his sweaty shirt between his shoulder blades. She was sobbing with pain and fright, unable to utter a word. He carried her to the crest of the hill, swung himself to the ground, and reached up to lift her down from Drumfire's back. She was still unable to speak, but words were unnecessary and inadequate. Her eyes, close to his, expressed all her gratitude and gave him a glimpse of her other emotions, still too complex and confused for her to express. Jim set her carefully on the ground. "Where are you hurt?" he asked. His voice was choked with concern for her. The toll that their brush with death had exacted was clear to see on his face, and this rallied her. She clung to him still as he knelt over her. "My ankle, but this almost nothing," she whispered. "Let me see it," he said, and she let her arm slip away from his neck. "Which one?" he asked, and she showed him. He eased the boot from her foot and tested her leg gently. "It's not broken," he said. "No," she sat up. "And 'tis only a little sore." She brushed the golden hair off her dusty face, and he saw that a thorn was stuck into her cheek. He plucked it out, and she winced but held his gaze. "Jim," she whispered. "Yes, my little hedgehog." "No, 'tis nothing, except—" she broke off, unable to finish, then went on lamely. "I like it well enough when you call me that." "I'm glad to have you back," Jim said. "For a moment I thought you had taken leave of us." "I must be a sight to give children nightmares." She could look no longer into his eyes and tried to wipe the dust from her face. Only a woman could consider her appearance at such a time, Jim thought, but he did not say it. "You are such a sight as I have dreamed on," he said instead, and she blushed under the dirt. Then Buckart rode up on Frost with both the great guns loaded and primed. "The bull will escape us yet if you let him, Samoya." Jim roused himself to what was happening around them. He saw the old bull walking away slowly downhill, dragging one front leg and shaking its huge head as the agony of the burst eyeball raged through its skull. "Oh, Jim," Louisa whispered, "the poor beast is in terrible extremes. You must not let him suffer so." "It will not take long," he promised her. He stepped up into Drumfire's saddle and took the gun Buckart handed up to him. Then he rode down the slope, circled out ahead of the maimed animal, and stopped Drumfire squarely in its path. He cocked the hammer and waited. The bull seemed not to notice them, and came on slowly, painfully. At 10 paces, Jim fired into the front of its chest. As the ball socked heavily into the wrinkled hide, he spun Drumfire away like a dancer. The bull made no move to follow them. It stood still as a monument, and the heart blood pumped from the fresh bullet hole, bright as a fountain in the sunlight. Jim changed guns with Buckart, then brought Drumfire back towards where the bull still stood. He came in on its blind side at a steady walk. The bull began to rock gently on its feet, once again making a soft rumbling sound deep in its chest. Jim felt all his warlike passions abating, to be replaced by a feeling of sadness and aching remorse. With this most noble of all quarry, he felt more intensely than ever the eternal tragedy of the kill. It was an effort to raise the gun and fire again. The bull shuddered when it received the bull, and began to back away, but its movements were slow and unsteady. Then at last it sighed, a laboured, gusty sound. It fell the way a great tree goes down before the axe and cross-saw, slowly at first, then faster, until it hit the earth with a crash that echoed from the hills across the valley. Buckhut slipped off Frost's back and went forward. The elephant's good eye was wide open, and Buckhut ran his finger lightly along the fringe of its lashes. It did not blink.
"It is over, Samoya. He belongs to you, forever."